Welcome to the You Can Be Organized with Erin podcast. I'm Erin, professional organizer and director of A Busy Family. We're going to be sharing short episodes each week to help you get organized. We'll dive into all things organizing as well as have guest interviews with other leaders in the industry. So pull up a seat and let's dive into the good stuff. Welcome back to another episode of You Can Be Organized. I'm Erin Morrow, your host. And today we're going to be talking about the declutter decisions. Say that five times fast. And what we want to look at is some of the decision-making process while you're decluttering to help you get through some of those harder decisions. You are ready to declutter. What now? It's such an important part of the organizing process, but sometimes it is the most overwhelming. And we hit a decision-making fatigue. You're just so overwhelmed that we're paralyzed. We've talked about it before. You become with that decision paralysis and you just don't know anymore if you want to keep it, if you want to donate, if you want to toss it. It just becomes all too much and you can't make any further decisions. So today we're going to kind of talk through that decision fatigue and how to ask yourself the questions so that it makes it easier in that decision-making process. Like I said, the decision fatigue is when we feel like you're not capable of making any more decisions. Sometimes decisions are super easy and you know right away if you want to keep, toss, or donate an item, but other times it's not so easy. And we're going to go over a series of questions to ask yourself. So you're ready to declutter. This is wonderful and it is such an important step in the organizing process. But sometimes it is overwhelming and we can hit decision fatigue. You've heard me probably talk about decision fatigue in past episodes, but we're going to go a little deeper about what it is and questions that you can ask yourself to make this an easier process. So decision fatigue, to review, is when we feel like you're just not capable of making any more decisions. Sometimes, you know, you get going and the decisions are easy. You know exactly what you want to keep, what you want to toss, what you want to donate, what belongs to somebody else. Then there's the other end of the spectrum where you hold something up, for example, let's go something silly like a sock, and you just can't decide, do you need to keep it? Do you need to toss it? Do you need to donate it? You can't just make that decision because your brain is saying, enough already. I can't make any more decisions. You have stressed me out. We're going to go over a series of questions that you can ask yourself when you're hitting that hard time making those decisions, when those decisions become a little too tough to make in a quick instant, there are some questions we can ask. The hardest part of the decluttering process, when we come across those items that we either forgot we had or we haven't been able to find for a long time. And sometimes it's really easy to let it go because you're like, you know what? I haven't used it in the last 5 years because it's been in this box in the darkest corner of the basement. I don't really need it anymore. But other times it's a little tougher to make that decision about a family heirloom, for example, or a piece of artwork your child did in kindergarten. For those decisions, for those ones that are a little bit tougher to make a rapid choice on, we're going to ask ourselves some of the following questions to help make this decision-making process easier. So first, is it broken? Okay, so if it's broken, you want to look at how long has it been broken? Is it something that you have put in the basement, in the workshop, if you have a workshop, or out in the garage to be fixed, and it's been sitting there for a year, 2 years, or for however long, and you haven't gotten around to fixing it? Or just now when you picked it up and you're like, oh, I forgot about this. I was going to fix this, but never got around to it. Okay. If it's been a while and you haven't gotten around to it, the chances of you actually getting around to doing it is pretty slim. But if it is fixable and you are going to fix it, give yourself a time frame. Let's do 6 weeks. And if you haven't gotten around to it in 6 weeks, it's time to get rid of it. Maybe there's a reason you haven't fixed it. Maybe you can't find the part that's been discontinued, or maybe you already have the parts to fix it and it is literally just waiting for you to create time to do this. Are you going to fix it is the next question down that one. So are you really going to get around to it? You haven't done it yet and it's been broken for a year or two. So chances are not likely that you are going to fix it. And at that point, it's time to let it go unless you can give it to somebody who's going to fix it, a broken item and an item missing all its pieces is not donatable. So please remember this. So to review, that is it broken? If the answer is yes, how long has it been broken? Is it fixable? Why haven't you fixed it? And do you have the parts to fix it? And honestly, will you fix it? When you ask yourself, will you fix it? Another fun question to add on there, are you lying? Are you lying to yourself about actually getting around to fixing it? The next question we're going to look at is, do you still need it? Because sometimes when we come across things that we forgot we had, or things that have been buried in a box since we moved 6 years ago, there's a high probability that we have either no need for it in our current life, or we have already purchased something else to replace it. Do you still need it? Do you have something that replaces it? And do you prefer the replacement? Because maybe you've replaced it, but what you replaced this item with isn't exactly what you want. You wanted the original. And if that's the case, make the swap and donate the replacement and put the original back into use. Another question when you're like, well, I still don't know. Would you buy it again? Would you go out and spend the money on that item today if you wanted it? You know, so for example, let's look at an air fryer. You know, it was a cool thing. It was all the trend. And all of a sudden, it's kind of, the trend has dwindled a little bit. And you bought it and you used it. And it's been sitting in the back corner of your kitchen cupboard now for a year and a half and you haven't touched it. Would you go out today and buy an air fryer? Is it something you would use? If the answer is yes, then keep what you have. Don't go out and buy a new one. But if the answer is no, we're really not using the air fryer as much as we thought, it's okay to let it go. These are questions that are giving you permission to yourself to be okay with letting things go. And it's also making you think about whether or not you really need to keep it. Because remember, we only have a limited amount of space in which to keep these things. And if we don't have the space to store it, and it's been taking up valuable space for years, unused in a dark basement corner, it's okay. Give yourself that permission with these questions. Another question to ask yourself is, have you used it in the last 12 months? Now, this is something that I used to, when I first started seeing clients, we were just coming out of the pandemic, and I gave a little leniency on the 12-month mark. I let them say, you know, the past 2 years, because our lives changed temporarily there during the pandemic. Now, here we are, we are on the other side of everything. And now look at your items and have you used it in the last 12 months? If the answer is no, do you have plans to use it in the very near future? And again, here's a good time to ask yourself that question. Are you lying? Because our lifestyles have changed for so many of us over the last few years that we're not entertaining the same, we're not gathering the same as we used to. So are you really going to use it again in the near future? And again, here's that question. Would you buy it again? So would you go out and spend the $300 on a resin charcuterie board? Would you go out and spend that money again on that item today? And if the answer is no, and you're not going to be using it in the near future, and you haven't used it in the last 12 months, then it's okay to let it go. The next question we want to look at as we come across items in our decluttering process is, does it belong to somebody else? And if so, can you return it to that person? So for example, and this is a little bit of an embarrassment for me, is my parents had an abundant space in their basement and were very generous and kind to let us use part of their basement as a storage unit. And as they were decluttering and getting ready to list their house on the market, our stuff had to be returned to us. We often go through the decluttering process ourselves. There were items there that, you know, we haven't used in the last 10 years because we don't have space in our current home. There are items there that, you know, we amalgamated two households and we still hadn't gotten rid of the extra pots and pans. We have brand new pots and pans. We love them. We don't need the old ones. And so we let them go. What my parents were doing in their basement was that if it belonged to somebody else, they said, hey, I have item ABC here that belonged to you. Do you still want it? And if they say no, then okay, so that you know, I'm going to donate it, or I'm going to take it to the trash, or I'm going to sell it. Whatever your course of action is, then that's what you do. But let them know. Don't just go and dispose of it without asking first if they wanted it back or if they have other plans to store it, because that could just cause a whole other issue that is out of my scope of practice. Another question here, and we've touched on it, is it taking up valuable space? So when you still can't decide, that air fryer, let's stick with the air fryer. Still not sure if you can really let it go. You've asked yourself all the questions up to now, and you're still just hesitant. I want you to think about the space that it is taking up. That space can be used for something else. Like if you are in a small space and that air fryer is taking up a cubic foot of space in a cupboard that could be used for something. Perhaps you've just had a baby. You need a spot to put a baby blender and bottles and things for the baby. Is that air fryer taking up valuable space that could be used for something else? Again, if the answer is yes, do you have somewhere else to keep it that you're going to access it and use it? If the answer is yes, then move it to that location. If the answer to that is no, because if you put it down in the basement, you are going to forget about it. And when you get down to the basement, you're going to be like, all right, I forgot I had this air fryer, and you're going through all these questions again, and that's when you're going to donate it. But save yourself that step and be honest with yourself. And if you're not going to use it, donate it. If it is going to take up valuable space that can be used for something else, it's okay to let it go. Is it still in good shape? You know, does it have all its pieces? Does it still work? Is it, you know, is the cord starting to fray? Are the prongs on the plug loose? Look at the condition of the item. And if it's not in good condition, then you have to think, would you replace it? The answer is no, let it go. If it's in good condition, can somebody else use it? Can it go to a donation center? Can it go to your niece or nephew who is setting up their first apartment, perhaps? And when we're looking at handing it or offering it to somebody else to use, even with donations, you know, would it be loved and used by somebody else? And sometimes that makes it easier to let it go as well, is because you know that it's going to continue to live on and bring somebody else joy. It's going to be useful for somebody else and help them out. And that makes you feel good. Now, when we get down to some of these more sentimental things, you know, children's artwork, why do you want to keep it? I'm harsh when it comes to my own kids' stuff, and I really question when clients keep things that they're grown children and you still have all their schoolwork throughout the years from kindergarten all the way through to university, and they are now married and have their own kids. Why do you feel you need to keep it? And so when you come across these items, ask yourself, why do you want to keep it? Is it something because it is bringing up precious memories? That is something we are going to touch on in a future episode about sentimental items and how we can keep them without keeping them. Another question is, how would your life be negatively impacted should you let this piece go? You know, should you finally say, okay, it is time to let go of the schoolwork from kindergarten through university. My kids are grown. They don't want it. What is the impact going to be on my life if I let it go? Now, with that, maybe there's a piece or two that you want to keep that are really meaningful, but you don't have to keep it all. You don't have to keep the binders and binders of three-ring paper with their notes on it, or, you know, the duotangs that have I love Justin Bieber or whoever their crush was. It's okay to let those things go. If your kids don't want them, why are you hanging on to them? Keep the few pieces that mean the most to you and let the rest go. Because when you have to downsize, or heaven forbid, something happens to you, you know what your kids are going to do with that? They're going to throw it straight to the recycling. They're going to throw it in a big bonfire. They don't want it now. They're not going to want it later. So don't leave that burden for your kids. Another thing to question about is how many of the item do you have? So let's go back into the kitchen for a second and look at spatulas and whisks. The number of spatulas and whisks I find in people's kitchen drawers is astonishing. When you're doing those kinds of items and you have 6 or 7 whisks, or you have a dozen spatulas, do you really need them all? Chances are you're only using 1 or 2 of those because they're your favorite. How many, you have to think about how many you actually need. If you hold a if you have a baking school or a cooking school and you have people over often to cook with you and bake, and you use these items, okay. But if it's just you and you're the only one cooking, then you really probably don't need a dozen spatulas and 7 whisks. So keep the ones you love and let the rest go. The final question there is, if you could only keep 50% of your belongings, would this item make the cut? Let's picture you are only allowed to keep 50% of everything in your house. Would those spatulas make the cut? No? Then you don't really need them and it's okay to let them go. Somebody else is going to appreciate it. Now, don't worry, I'm going to have a handout with these questions on them. I am also going to have a link to some donation do's and don'ts in the show notes so that you can help decide if something is donatable or if it has to go to the landfill. So that was a lot. I hope you guys are not too overwhelmed, but some of these questions are better asked by somebody else. And this is why it's always good sometimes to have a friend or another family member or even a professional organizer come through and do the decluttering step with you, because they can hold up an item and ask you the questions. Because if someone else is holding it, you're not forming a physical connection to that item while you're asking the questions. And sometimes it's easier to be honest about it when they're not in your hand. Those decisions are easier when that physical connection has been eliminated and it allows you to make those decisions and someone else can ask the questions so that you're not necessarily feeling so overwhelmed and you've got someone there to support you. So a professional organizer is going to be someone who is fantastic to help you get through this process without a feeling of guilt. Because no matter what, we are not going to make you get rid of something that you don't want to get rid of. We are going to be firm, but we are not going to pressure you to get rid of or even keep anything. The decision is always going to be yours. And if you choose to work with a friend or a family member, they have to make sure that they respect that. They respect that the decision is yours and you are the one that is deciding if something stays, goes, whatever. That's your decision. It's always your decision. Another question to consider when you're keeping an item is, does it fit the purpose and the goal for the space? So, for example, if you are in an office, you're working on your office and you come across a set of dishes that you have put aside for the special occasions. Why are they in the office? Do you have room for them somewhere else? Can you create room for them somewhere else? Because they do not fit the function or the goal for your home office. So they don't need to be in that space. They shouldn't be in that space. It is going to change the energy of that space. You want things that belong in the office in the office, things that belong in the kitchen in the kitchen, things that belong in the dining room in the dining room. If you happen to have a pantry or a storage space in the basement for the overflow, then use it for that. Don't use the office to store the good dishes unless absolutely necessary and your office is going to double as a storage area. This is part of the reason why we talk about keeping the goals and inspirations posted nearby so that it keeps it in the front of your mind as you're working through the decluttering process and making decisions that, you know what, this dark, clunky, old table, let's use a piece of furniture, does not go with the light, airy, modern, feminine feel that you are going for. It doesn't work in the space. It's okay to let it go. trust. And when I say let it go, I want to just remind you that I'm saying let it go, give it to somebody else, donate, sell it. It doesn't mean just putting it out to the curb and into the landfill. That's letting go. There's different levels of letting go, and we'll touch on those again in another episode. So let's stay on the question train and look at how to prevent the clutter from returning to your space after all your hard work. Because that's one thing I hear a lot from clients is that they have decluttered, they've organized, and it just keeps coming back and back. And that's part of the frustration that leads them to calling us, because they just can't seem to get control. It just keeps creeping back in. So let's look at some questions that we can ask ourselves for things come back into the space and create more clutter. When you have stuff come in, before you bring it home from the store, think about where you're going to put it. Does it have a home waiting for it when you get home? Because if it doesn't, and it's going to sit on the dining room table or kitchen counter for the next 4 or 5 months while you try and figure out where to put it, you don't need it. You need to have a home for it before it brings it. Here's the questions we want you to consider when you're buying anything, be it a new kitchen whisk or a new dress or anything in between, before you bring something outside of food into your home. You want to ask yourself, do you have something like it? And if the answer to that is yes, is it identical or is there a slight difference? Is it identical? Yes, put it back. If the answer is no, then buy the smallest amount. So obviously, my notes say the smallest size, but that's not the case with clothes. You don't want to buy a size zero if you're a size 20. But you don't want to necessarily buy the 15,000 Q-tip package if you know you only have space to store 150 packs. You don't want to go out and buy the Costco size potato chips if you have nowhere to store it. So think about the space. Don't go and buy things in bulk if you don't have the space to keep it. Back to the, do you have something like it? If the question answer to that one was no, then you ask, do you need it? And remember, there is a difference between a need and a want. So it's fine to say, yes, I want this new dress, but do I need it? Probably not. I don't go anywhere that I wear dresses anymore. Ask yourself these questions before you do it. So if you do need it, again, do you have the space for it? Remember to think, where is it going to live in your space before you bring it back? Because those items that don't have homes before you bring them in are the ones that sit on the counter, they sit on the floor, they sit on the table, they sit in the corner of your room, and things get piled on them, and it is the start of the clutter train again. If you've decided that you do not have something like it, you need it, you have the space for it, do you love it? There's a question. Do you really, really love it? And do you really, really need it? If you don't need it, and the answer is no, put it back on the shelf. Do you need it? Do you love it? Is there something better out there that you would rather have? Are you just settling for something else because you need to have a new blender, but you really want to get a KitchenAid Artisan or one of the fancy blenders? Think about that process. Don't buy it just because. Make sure you love it. Make sure you have space for it. Make sure you need it. So if you don't have space for it, put it back. If you have the space, if you've answered all these questions and it is still checking all the boxes, then go ahead. If you can afford it, don't go and get yourself into debt just because I've said you've answered yes to all these questions and now you can go and buy it. Be responsible in your buying. And that goes with everything. Before you purchase anything, make sure you're responsible. So as I said, one of the easiest ways to control clutter is not to bring more into your space. If you don't have the space for something new, are you willing to give something else up and create the space? And if there's nothing else you're willing to give up to create that space, then you really don't need it. And if you are buying something you already have, are you willing to remove the old one to make space for the new one? If you are buying a new wine rack, are you willing to get rid of your old wine rack in order to replace it with the new one? Are you willing to get rid of the old bookshelf to replace it with the new one? These are questions you have to ask before you buy anything, because otherwise you bring in the clutter back. Not only are these questions here going to help you reduce the amount of clutter coming back into your home and getting you back onto that clutter train. But in the long run, they can also help you save money because you're not going to impulse buy as easily and as often creating that clutter because you're thinking of where you're using it, what you need it for. You're thinking of all these things before you're buying it so you can actually save money when you put it back on the shelf. I realize we've covered a lot of questions to ask yourself today. It was a heavily question-loaded episode, and thank you for sticking with me. Remember that you work hard and your space should not cause you anxiety due to the clutter. So you are going to work through these things to get through the declutter decisions, and your space is going to feel lighter and brighter and better. So once you've done the hard part of decluttering and organizing, honor yourself and your efforts by asking these questions before you bring more into your space. And remember, as always, you can be organized. Hey! Thanks for tuning in to another episode of You Can Be Organized with Erin. I would love to hear more from you on the topics you want to hear in upcoming episodes. Remember to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review and share with others who are on an organizing journey. For now, this is Erin signing off. And until next time, remember, you can be organized.